It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to the program that we call Fresh Oil. It comes from Psalm 92:10, where the psalmist David said, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Yesterday's anointing is not enough for us. We need a new touch from God each and every day, and we call this Fresh Oil because we take 15 minutes to share with you a teaching from God's Word. Right now, we're in the middle of a teaching verse by verse from the book of 1 Peter. Now, last week, we left off with chapter 4 and verse 7. I want to pick up just that thought again. We read verse 7, but I want to pick it up again. He says, "The end of all things is near." So the context of this passage Peter is teaching us now is the end of time, the end days, the last days. And I believe with all of my heart, I could spend hours telling you why I believe we're living in the last days. Many of the signs that Jesus wrote about in Matthew 24 when his disciples asked him, "When will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus began to list the signs. Many will come in my name saying, "I'm Christ." Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, famines, diverse places. And all these things are happening just like Jesus said. And as I shared with you last Friday, I believe when Israel became a nation on May 14th, 1948, God brought this nation back into existence after being extinct for 2,000 years to bring about his end time plan to fulfill the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel and the things that had been prophesied. So today it comes here in verse 7. It says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore," now I've always taught you when you see the word therefore, pause, because he's going to say something heavy. He's saying, I've said all this previous statement to make my point. Now here's my point. Look what he says. "Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray." That's so important, friend, that we clear our minds from all the garbage that Satan wants to bring into our mind. Anxiety, fear, depression, all those things that will attack your mind. God says, clear your mind. Be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. It's so important. Our prayer time is not just a gimme, gimme, gimme list to God, but it's time where we pause and pray to God, speak to him, and let him speak back to us. It's communication with our Heavenly Father. And then Paul begins to lay out some important guidelines and principles for those of us who live in the times that we live in now, the last days. He says, "Above all, love each other deeply." See, love from God should define our Christian walk. The Bible tells us God is love. And Jesus said, "They're going to know you're my disciples if you have love one for another." And then he tells us what's so important about love. He said, "Because love covers over a multitude of sins." See, for God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to atone for our sins. And when you love someone, you will ignore or put up with all their faults and failures because love covers a multitude of sins. And that's so important, friend. And then he tells us in verse 9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. When you study Acts, the second chapter, it tells us about the early church. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And when he said the breaking of bread here, he's actually not talking about communion. He's talking about eating in one another's house. He's talking about inviting somebody over for dinner, sharing a meal. I learned when I was in Israel that hospitality is so important in the Middle Eastern culture. I was invited to a man's house on one of my first trips to Israel, and I declined, not realizing that that's the biggest insult you could give someone in the Middle East. And my friend came back and said, "Oh, you're going to Abraham's house tomorrow." I said, "No, I told him we had plans." He said, "No, I told him you didn't understand. You're going to Abraham's house." It ended up being the highlight of my tour that time. And it's so important that we spend time together, just around sharing a meal together, sharing fellowship together. And Peter's telling us that here. He says, therefore, be clear-minded, self-controlled. And then he says, love deeply. And then he said, offer hospitality without grumbling. So many times we want to grumble and say, oh man, the house is not clean enough, or I can't cook good enough for this person. Or we begin to make all the excuses why we don't want to invite someone to our house. But I tell you what, friend, it's so important, because relationships can be built over hospitality. They really can, and strengthened. In verse 10, he says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. That's such an important verse. Every one of us have been given gifts by God. The Apostle Paul spoke about those gifts in Romans, the 12th chapter, and he said in verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So he lists these gifts of Romans 12, and I really believe that all of us have one of those gifts, at least one. Maybe you're the servant. You're the one that loves to meet a need. That's so important in the body of Christ, because we all have needs. If it's prophesying, that's to declare truth, to speak the truth, and just share and help somebody by speaking truth into their life. Oh, how about encouraging? I can't tell you every week how much it means to me to have my encouragers speak an encouraging word to me. Because Satan is always trying to discourage you. And there are people in my life, God has placed in my life. It's an email that comes every week after I preach from my dear friends, Ron and Kat. They always send me an email every Sunday and encourage me, because that's their gift. I also have people in the church that will come up after a service and say, boy, Pastor, that really spoke to me. You know, it's so important that you use this gift, even if you don't feel that's your main gift. If you see an opportunity to encourage somebody, dear friend, this world is so full of criticism. It's important to encourage any opportunity you get. It can sometimes mean so much to someone who's really discouraged and down and out. So in our text today, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, Peter says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Notice now, both Paul and Peter both speak of how grace is involved in using our gifts. Paul said, use it in proportion to your faith. Peter says here, administering God's grace in its various forms. So your serving is really a form of God's grace. What is grace? It's God's ability in you to do for you what you can't do by yourself. The body of Christ is made up with so many parts. Each one of us have our part in the body of Christ. And God wants each of us to use our gifts. In verse 11, Peter goes on, he says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And he concludes that thought. The Apostle Paul said to the Colossian church, he said, whatever you do and in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So whatever we do, we need to do it in the name of the Lord. We need to do it with God in mind. If I'm speaking encouraging words, speak like God would speak. If I'm serving, serve like God would serve. And if I'm loving, let the motivation of my love be God himself. So as we serve one another in the body of Christ, we do it with the strength that God provides us through his wonderful grace, and we always need to make sure it's God who gets the glory. Now, when we come to the 12th verse, Peter changes the tone of the letter. He picks up a new subject. He says in verse 12, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." I think oftentimes we are surprised when trials hit us because many times they come to blindside us. That seems to be the objective of the enemy whenever he attacks us as believers. Sometimes it blindsides us. And the people of Peter's day, they were no different. They were surprised that as Christians, they were going through all these battles. How many times have you said to God, "God, why is this happening to me? Or I don't understand. Maybe I'm doing something wrong." Sometimes it's because you're doing something right, friend. And the devil is just trying to throw you off your footing. Peter goes on and says, "But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ." Oh, I know it sounds strange to have an attitude of rejoicing in the middle of suffering. But he says that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. When does that happen? I believe it's when God brings us through the trial and we see His glory. We see that it was Him that sustained us. Like Paul, when he suffered so long with his thorn in the flesh, and he said, "Three times I pleaded with God to take it away," and he said, "No, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." Peter went on and said, "If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." When is the last time you had someone insult you for your faith, and you said, "Thank you very much"? Then Peter gets real practical in verse 15. He says, "If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler." See, those people deserve their suffering. That's called sowing and reaping. They're reaping the seeds they had sown with the bad deed. But you and I, when we are serving Christ and we're sharing the gospel and someone insults us or persecutes us, that's different. He says in verse 16, "However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God?" Now, I believe this verse is really relevant in what we're going through today, because over the last few months, we have seen so many major ministries tumble down. You might say, "Keith, why is this happening today?" Well, first of all, they did some wrong things. And I'm not here to judge them, not at all. But I'm telling you, God said judgment has to begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Then Peter closes out verse 19 and he says, "So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." See, Satan's objective for bringing persecution against Christians, bringing an attack against Christians, his objective is to get you to stop doing what you're doing, to make you give up sharing the gospel. But God says, commit yourself to your faithful Creator and continue to do good. We're teaching from the book of 1 Peter this week on Fresh Oil, and it's so good to be sharing God's word with you verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Tomorrow we're going to pick up with chapter 5 as Peter begins to address the elders and the young men of what they are to be doing in these last days. Thank you so much, friend, for joining me today for Fresh Oil. And you have a great week this week. And I'm looking forward to sharing with you more, verse by verse, on the book of 1 Peter. Walk in grace, my friend.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He he makes his mercies new every morning.